This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Daylight come and me won't go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
There's the strident voice. Harry Belafonte, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and Harry Belafonte passed away at the age of 96. We thought we would pay tribute to him with his most famous song, the Banana Boat Song. We'll talk a little bit about Harry after we tell you what's going on the show today, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday, April the 26th, as we move along through the month. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Dr. Stan Ridgely. He is a former military officer. He's now a professor at Drexel University. He's got a book. It's called Brutal Minds, Campus Left-Wing Brainwash. Wow. Let's talk with him about that early in the show. Stay tuned for that. And House Republicans are pushing on this morning. They're going to try and fashion a vote on the debt limit. You've been hearing about that for a while. Here's the question. Does Speaker Kevin McCarthy have the votes? Can he keep enough Republicans together to get it through? We are going to take a look. And campus quackery. We got a couple of things going on. First, to North Carolina University, and then to Olympia, Washington. We're going to be talking about whether or not having the Constitution discussed in school, in college, makes any sense, and whether having music classes are really an example of white supremacy. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, speaking about Harry Belafonte at the age of 96, we are going to give you the top 10 oldest living musicians towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. As we said, the day old man Harry Belafonte died, he was not only a singer and a movie star, but he was a civil rights advocate. And as he got older, he became, I would tell you, a little bit more involved in civil rights. He died of congestive heart failure yesterday in New York. Had a long life, did he not? He was one of the first black performers to gain a wide following on film and to sell a million records. And of course, his Banana Boat Song was his most famous. But he also forged a legacy once he scaled back his performing in the 60s to get involved in civil rights. Very much involved in that. He was a Tony Award winner in 1954 for starring in John Murray Anderson's Almanac, and 5 years later, he became the first black performer to win an Emmy for his TV special, Tonight with Harry Belafonte. He also starred in a movie called, a musical, Carmen Jones, with Dorothy Dandridge. That was in 1954. The funny thing about that movie was, despite his singing voice, they actually substituted a more operatic voice. So they dubbed his voice in Carmen Jones. It was a good movie, though. It comes on Turner Classic Movies every once in a while. So anyway, Harry Belafonte.
Now, his daughter was who?
Oh, yes. It was... wait a second. I can't remember her name.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, but you're right.
I thought you
very attractive girl. I don't remember her name. Was it last name Belafonte?
No.
Okay, well, we'll look it up. Anyway, we got a lot of things going on. The GOP, House Republicans, are still working to get the debt ceiling legislation passed. They worked through the night. They want to cut some federal spending. They have agreed to some changes in order to secure more votes. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is orchestrating this. This will be the biggest bill of his early life as House Speaker if he can get this thing through. The touch-and-go nature of the vote could be seen throughout yesterday. Let's see. They're hoping to possibly take a vote on it today, whether or not that occurs. Here's the thing. Biden won't sit down and talk with Kevin McCarthy and work out some sort of an agreement. I have never seen a president more reluctant to do anything in his life than the guy we got in the Oval Office right now. He is absolutely... I mean, he might as well not be there.
Well,
he checked out a long time ago, I think, mentally.
They've been kind of keeping him under wraps lately.
Keeping him under wraps?
You know,
He's not performing basic presidential duties.
But when
duties.
He went over to Ireland and stuff like that, he didn't do any press conferences or anything like that. Since he's been back, he's a word here and a word... And he's always walked kind of frail, but he's really kind of heel-toeing it right now.
Yeah, he is. He's got back issues.
Well, I mean, he's horrible. That his back is,
yeah.
By the way, Harry Belafonte's daughter is Sherry.
Sherry Belafonte?
She was an actress. That's how I remember.
So no, I do remember
her. She looks exactly like him, too.
Yes, she did. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's 68.
She's 60?
She's 68.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he was 96.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about Biden? So then he announces he's running for president yesterday.
From a videotape.
On a videotape. And even though they edited the videotape, you don't even see him. You just see the different older shots of him in different places. Even listening to him talk on that edited videotape, he sounds so frail. And of course, he has no accomplishments. All he talks about is how bad the MAGA Republicans are. He's got this thing, MAGA Republicans. Oh, yeah. If I hear him say that one more time, I'm going to throw a brick through the TV.
Well, you're a MAGA Republican if you believe in parents having a voice in school. You are that way if you feel taxes are too high. And on and on. I mean, that's just the way,
If you want to cut back on the cost of government, if you want to cut back on the cost of your gasoline.
If you think the United States should be energy independent, yes, then you are.
Apparently, when you want to take personal responsibility, when you want to follow the Constitution, when you don't want to have a centralized government dominating your life, apparently, if you don't want any of those things, you're a MAGA Republican. Why can't we be socialists like the rest of them?
Yeah, AOC for president.
There you go.
But, you just got to keep a better job of keeping him under wraps, hiding him a little bit better.
Well, they're doing a great job of hiding
him. Well, it's going to have to... Remember how long the Soviets kept Brezhnev under wraps? I mean, he was dead like, 3 months before
right about that.
Brezhnev has cold.
He's got a sore throat right now.
He has cold.
He's got a sore throat. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's been dead.
He's been dead for 4 months, and good old Brezhnev.
Oh yeah, that big
poor guy. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Dr. Stan Ridgely is going to join us. We're going to talk about his book, "Brutal Minds: Campus Left Wing Brainwash."
When the night has come.
and the land is dark.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Before we bring on Dr. Stan Ridgely, I got to read this, and I think Dr. Ridgely will appreciate it. Hundreds of professors at North Carolina University have signed a public letter opposing legislation that would require university students to take courses on America's government and founding documents. Listen to this. 673 UNC Chapel Hill professors revealed a public letter yesterday arguing the new courses and another bill in the North Carolina House would constitute an infringement on the university's academic freedom. How dare you talk about the Constitution and require it on our campus. Shame on you. Anyway, Dr. Stan Ridgely is joining us. He is from Drexel University. He is a professor there. He's a former military intelligence officer, and he's out with a book, Brutal Minds, Campus Left-Wing Brainwash. Dr. Ridgely, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it. I'm delighted to be talking to your Tampa audience. I have great memories, have some relatives down in Tampa. So I'm talking to you from West Philadelphia, home of high taxes, high crime, 24% poverty rate, and 70 years of Democrat rule. What's not to like?
There you go, Philadelphia. No wonder they get so upset. What do they talk about? The Philadelphia, I don't know. Their sports fans can be pretty brutal from time to time. I'm going to call you Stan, if you don't mind, Doctor.
Not at all, Paul.
Let's get into your book. You wrote a book called Brutal Minds. It was subtitled The Dark World of Left-Wing Brainwashing in Our Universities. And I think this story that I just read about North Carolina might be rather appropriate to what you have to say. Tell us a little bit about what you are trying to say in your book, if you would.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for, you know, tweaking me, because I think you know that I'm an alumnus of the UNC Chapel Hill, where this event is taking place. There were these professors are signing a letter saying we don't want our students here to learn about the Constitution, America's founding documents. That was just the thing to say to get me worked up.
I bet.
Brutal Minds. Let me be clear so there's no mistaking the point. Leftist, progressive, crypto-Maoist brainwash programs are conducted at the vast majority of universities and colleges nationwide. The vast majority. They are subsidized, or they are, we see complicity from the university administrations in conducting these brainwash sessions. They don't call them brainwash sessions, of course, and I'll get into that. But we know who these people are. We know their ideology. We know who they, you know, how they inflict cult-like brainwash sessions on students. And most of all, most important, we know that we can do something about it to, if not put a stop to it, to at least emasculate the people doing it until they can be identified, investigated, and perhaps removed.
You know, it takes a lot of courage for a conservative professor these days. I hope at Drexel University the environment is such that you're able to walk down the road without having to look over your shoulder. But you're right. You're absolutely right. The whole philosophy on campus these days across the country, and then we wonder why we've got generations of kids, you know, that have come out of school and feel the way they do about a centralized government and the spending and all of the things that I think are eroding, deteriorating our country.
Well, I will tell you, the example that you gave with the over 600 professors is the mistake that most professors make. Their professors are usually smart people, generally speaking, okay? I enjoy their company. I enjoy the company of my colleagues. They're smart, you know, smart people, generally speaking. They want to do their research. They want to do their teaching. And they're not engaged in any kind of brainwash. They think that the enemy is somewhere off campus. In this case, in the legislature of North Carolina. And so their attention is riveted, and they're ignoring the enemy inside the wire. The enemy inside the wire is the bureaucracy called student affairs and enabled by the university administration. And this is where most of the brainwashing takes place, not in college classrooms, but outside the classrooms in what's called the co-curriculum, a series of workshops, residence hall exercises that message students 24/7 on a singular identifiable progressive ideology. And the mechanism whereby this ideology is perpetrated and reproduces itself on the college campus is an amazing revelation, I think, of the book, Brutal Minds. It's why it was amazing to me to discover it. And I think that people who read Brutal Minds will say, my gosh, this is how it's happening. This is why it replicates itself. This is why we cannot reform the university. But there are ways that parents and students can defend themselves and achieve that education that they're paying so much money for these days.
Well, you know, the fact that we're talking about it, and we have been talking about it. I say we. This country has been talking about the left-wing political ideology of most professors. So we are aware of it. These kids that go in, I mean, you know, what's the old saying that if you are not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not conservative when you're an adult, you have no brain. When you first, you know, get into school and into college, and you've got kind of an open mind, and you're still trying to find your way around campus, and you go to your classes, you know, you're willing to take in whatever the philosophy is of the teachers that are they're standing there in front of you. Even when I was going to school a long time ago, I remember listening to this history professor get into the politics, you know, and I thought, gee, it's funny. He really seems to be passionate about this kind of, we didn't call it left-wing then, but, you know, he was on that side of the equation. So it's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and they're very passionate about it. I don't doubt their sincerity, you know, one bit. They are sincere, and they believe they're working for a better world. And if they believed in angels, they would think that the angels were on their side. But you mentioned orientation, or whenever a college student, a high school student, goes to college for the first time. The folks who do the brainwashing, which are the folks who run orientation sessions, they recognize this. And this, let me interject that my book is really 80% of what they say about themselves. It's not me commenting or coming to some sort of conclusion for them. I let them speak for themselves, and it's very appalling what they consider is okay. And in orientation, one person who's an educationist says, you know what, this is the time to get these students because they're, quote, frightened. They're unsure of themselves. They have more of an open mind than they will have at any other time. You know, so this is the time we want to message them. And they say, he says this again, over and over and over again. The repetition is his. And that's Arthur Levine, I should say. I'll go ahead and give you his name. He's an educationist, and he's not one of the worst, I should say. So we have to understand, you mentioned the liberal to conservative disparity on our college campuses. Well, it exists. And studies have shown, Samuel Abrams shows, that it's a 6-to-1 disparity, liberal to conservative, in the faculty. But that disparity is 12-to-1. Let me repeat that, 12-to-1, liberal to conservative, in the administration.
Wow.
And this is contrived. Yeah, it's contrived. It's not an accident. It's not because people, we find liberals are attracted to this type of work. No. What we find is that there's a mechanism in place that is run by education schools where they offer advanced degrees in things like student affairs or educational leadership, And these programs recruit this type of person who's a committed ideologue already. They train them up, and they prepare them for positions in the college bureaucracy that are created just for them. And they send these folks around, and these folks do not normally teach classes. They teach in what's called the co-curriculum, a parallel curriculum of fake instructors, fake curriculum, fake classes, and in some cases a fake transcript, which is, I can tell you, Rutgers University offers a fake transcript in this. St. John's University offers a fake transcript in this. And this is why the ideology is so lockstep nationwide. Places like Berkeley, Clemson, Duke, Chicago, the University of Florida, they all have this same left-wing cant because they're being trained to do so. Now, the faculty, over on faculty affairs, academic affairs, there's a multiplicity of viewpoints, mainly on the left, but there are some, you know, traditional liberals and folks like who teach in engineering and computer science, things like that. But on the left wing aspect of what we find on the campuses, the student affairs, it's almost lockstep left wing with a singular ideology that is highly identifiable, and it is crypto Maoist because that is what's being taught in schools of education. So that's the situation that I described in Brutal Minds, and the examples are numerous. And but we can do something about it, and I do convey that to parents and students in the last couple of chapters.
Oh, that's great. We're talking with Dr. Stan Ridgely, who has authored a book called Brutal Minds, Campus Left-Wing Brainwash. And in fact, I was just going to ask you that question about what parents can do. When you say, you know, virtually all of these schools are going to take their kid, no matter where they go, and start, you know, whatever you want to call it, transmitting this philosophy into their minds. So what can parents do with a kid that's getting ready to go and look for a college?
Well, that's kind of a complex question. I'll try to answer, break it down and answer all the aspects of it. First of all, you have to understand what I mean and what is meant when you say brainwash, okay? No one's going to say, hey, you know, welcome to this class. We're going to brainwash you. We're going to do all sorts of psychological manipulation and change your belief system. Well, that's not what they say, okay? Their brainwash method is well-known. It's utilized by, in fact, the two institutions that utilize the brainwash in the United States are American cults, such as the American branch of the Unification Church, commonly called Moonies, and college co-curriculum. Now, the brainwash consists of three steps: unfreezing the belief system, changing the belief system, and refreezing the belief system so that the new belief system takes. These brainwashers, which are usually student affairs people and some kind of outlier faculty, attack explicitly the student's sense of self, sense of identity, try to dismantle it, try to destabilize it, to prepare the way for the replacement of the belief system that that person brings to college, whether, you know, traditional morals, intellectual, an affinity for American political institutions, dislodge that and replace it with a crypto-Maoist belief system that aims to bring the college student to what is called critical consciousness. This comes right from Mao. It's kind of rather Marx. It's a kind of a bastardization or a change of the old class consciousness. Now they call it critical consciousness. And the third step is to ensure that this belief system takes, and this means giving the student all sorts of activities to engage in. They call this doing the work. Now, parents and students need to understand that there's going to be a fourth step, I would say, it's a preliminary step to this, where there's a deception involved, where no one is going to say, you know, well, we're going to replace your belief system with a crypto-Maoist belief system. We're going to engage in something called, with deceptive terms, Orwellian terms, such as learning about raids or a courageous conversation or a difficult dialogue. And then they will say, we want your trust. We want you to trust us. We want you to make yourself vulnerable. We want you to disclose private information. And they build this non-threatening ethos or environment for the student. American cults do this all the time. They call it love bombing, providing an arena where the student feels more loved and accepted than any other time in his life, and they are—it's incredibly seductive. intoxicating for students. And that paves the way for the brainwash, which is to destabilize the belief system and then replace it with a crypto-Maoist belief system that is grounded in the work of, Paulo Freire, who's the front man for the Marxist ideology.
Wow. Well, getting back to what a parent can do, how do you determine where to send your kid? Maybe you better homeschool him after he comes out of high school.
Well, homeschooling is great. I think it's fantastic. And what can a parent do? I will say that this is extant on almost all college and university campuses. There are some campuses where it's not really all that prevalent. You've got Hillsdale, you've got Grove City, a lot of our religious institutions, but even those are beginning to succumb because of this mechanism of inserting these persons who are trained universally in this particular ideology. So a parent has to say and be, must be connected to the student. Don't let the student go off to college, because those folks on the college campuses don't really care for parental interference. Now, they'll say, we have a parent's office here, we have a parent portal, we're going to keep you informed. They keep you informed of the most unimportant aspects of what's going on the campus. They don't tell you what's actually happening with regard to the messaging of your students. So if the student is aware that this procedure is going to take place, much of it is quasi-legal, I should say, that it violates the provisions from the Office of Human Research Protections, because students are not, they're solicited as private information and they're not given the opportunity to give informed consent. Now, parents and students, armed with the information you find in Brutal Minds, when I give red flags, these are how you can recognize when this type of thing is going to happen. When you're in a threat situation where these folks are soliciting private information, personal information designed to turn your belief system into something that is more to their liking. And this is one of the reasons why students come home during that first Thanksgiving break and they seem so angry. They seem so rebellious. They seem angry at you for having, quote-unquote, betrayed them.
Oh, boy.
This is how they operate.
Scary things.
It's scary. It's
very scary.
The things that I just described to you, the three-stage process, is actually taught to folks who do this brainwash in various manuals. Mm-hmm. I'll name a brainwash manual they use. A manual called Teaching for Diversity and Social Justice. The three-stage process that I just described to you is laid out clearly. They call the three stages not unfreezing, changing, or refreezing. That would give up the ghost.
Wow.
They call it defending, surrendering, and transforming. And the final process is a new set of beliefs becomes home base for interpreting experience and creating meaning. In other words, they've managed to change your belief system to one that's more to their liking, and they give you lots and lots of work to do this one to cement that belief system, prevent you from backsliding. It's awful.
Yeah.
It really is.
My colleague Ed Davis, I think, has a question for you, Doctor.
Well, Stan, I was just gonna, when you started talking about the parents, I'm shaking my head because I was wondering what the difference was the parents that were involved in their kids all through high school, and then some of them just dump them off at the college and say, see in 4 years, and they're not involved with their kids anymore. And that's the difference between the kids that might go to that have been dumped off, that go to those classes or meetings, whatever, come out thinking these people are great, and then the ones that actually still have the parents in their lives, come out saying, boy, those people are crazy, I'm going to start bowling on Tuesday nights. This is ridiculous. So I wondered if the parents needed to, even though they were so involved in high school, to keep that up when the kids are in college.
Well, I talked to some radio hosts, and one in particular really impressed me, said when he was taking care of when he had three kids in college, he was did everything he could to maintain a contact with them, to find out what was going on, to give them a hug when they needed it, and to not take the admonition of universities that say the student is going through a new period, a different period. The parent might want to back off, and let us take over for a while. And what they want, they being the folks on the campuses, what they want is unfettered access to college students without the interference of parents. And I mean this kind of universally. They'll even tell parents, you might want to just let the student get settled in with this new world of exploration. And that's a word they use an awful lot, exploration, and finding being exposed to new information. Well, if you realize, and you do now, that the 12-to-1 disparity of liberals to conservative, that the new world that they've entered is self-affirming. They're going to find, students are going to find affirmations of this new worldview everywhere they look, because there's brainwashers are actually invested in communicating and messaging their worldview all the time. Dorm room, dorm bulletin boards, curricular activities in the dorm, residence life sessions, on campus co-curricular, non-academic, non-classroom workshops, everything messages this ideology. And it's not an accident. It's contrived.
Wow.
And let me interject here. I will say it's not a conspiracy either. That would be the ordinary response to that. If I were to tell you, the American people, their wealth is being confiscated every month by the federal government, and you say, that sounds like a conspiracy. Well, no, it's not a conspiracy. You know that there's the IRS. It's the mechanism whereby wealth is confiscated. I see my paycheck every week or every month. And there's a certain amount of money that's taken out for what we call taxes. So there's no conspiracy. If you didn't know about these mechanisms, you would think, my gosh, what's happened to my money? It's just disappearing. I'm not earning as much as I think I am. Likewise, once you're aware of the mechanism whereby these people are inserted into the administration, where they're coming from, how they're trained, and how their philosophy and their ideology is reinforced through off-campus groups, once you see this mechanism, you cannot unsee it. And so it's like, wow, now I see why there's this 12-to-1 disparity in the student affairs side of the campus, because it's contrived. There's a mechanism that is making this happen. Over time, we can undercut or intercede and block this mechanism. That's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work once we understand it's there.
Well, Dr. Allen, I want to thank you so very much. Tell us how we can get your book.
Well, okay, Brutal Minds is available on Amazon right now. Brutal Minds, Dark World of Left-Wing Brainwashing. You can also find it at Barnes & Noble, and go to my site, brutalminds.com, for lots of great material that substantiates what I've been saying.
Well, terrific. I want to thank you so very much. Very, very interesting. And I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. We need to be forever vigilant. Thank you so much, doctors.
Thank you. Paul, let me just interject. I love your dedication to your site. Milton Friedman, Ayn Rand, I love that. As long as we have sites that are doing that, I think our future is secure. Take care, Paul.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan Ridgely. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, another installment of Campus Quackery. We're going to go to Olympia, Washington, where music classes are being characterized as another example of white supremacy.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Ed, I want you to... I think Ed's busy, so I'll talk to him a little bit later on that. But a House Judiciary Subcommittee today will feature the testimony from a whistleblower who will warn lawmakers that the U.S. has become, excuse me, the middleman in a multi-billion-dollar migrant child trafficking operation. The U.S. government has become a middleman in a child trafficking operation at the southern border. The hearing will be held by the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration and will examine the surge in unaccompanied children at the southern border. According to Customs and Border Statistics, the number of unaccompanied kids who come across the border have shot up substantially over the years. Last year, it was about 152,000 unaccompanied children across the border. And so far this year, over 70,000. Now, when these kids come across by themselves, they are transferred into the custody of Health and Human Services. And then supposedly they get a sponsor. How do we find all the sponsors for all of these kids that are pouring across the border? I don't know. But the Biden administration has been rocked by a number of reports that officials have been unable to make contact with over 85,000 of these kids. And more recently, the administration ignored signs of explosive growth in child labor. What's happening, apparently, is a lot of these kids are being forced into indentured servitude. They don't have sponsors. They're floating around the country, and they're being taken advantage of. It's very
scary.
Or
they're working off their debt to get into the country.
Yes, they are.
From the
That's another thing.
Yeah.
They are working off their debt. It's a very scary scenario. Now,
yeah, I mean, you're thinking, you know, if you've got missing kids that are 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, you'd be looking under every rock for them or whatever, and then you're just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, they're here illegally.
Yep.
We'll just pretend they're not here.
Exactly.
Well.
All right, now, Ed, I want you to listen to this quote, and I want you to tell me who you think said this.
Okay?
You ready?
Yep.
Quote, "So I think it's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future."
Let me think. It's pretty long-winded.
Yes.
Hmm.
It's a woman.
Too many words for Nancy Pelosi to keep her teeth in. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Hillary? No.
Wait till the thing ends here, then I'll tell you.
I'll take Hillary for 200.
Kamala Harris.
Oh, that...
What
That's,
is oh, wrong
come on.
With
I,
you?
No, I'd want to fact check that. That's way too deep for her.
No?
And there were no giggles in between.
Nope. She apparently just said it. Yep, she just said it. She made the comment during a rally for abortion rights at Howard University in D.C. yesterday. So there you go, my friend.
You know,
I want you to make note of that.
I want to say this to the people that are listening, the many millions of people are listening right now. That
don't
that
we
when,
wish.
When Kamala Harris and those people go out and say, a woman has a right to choose what is in her body, I want somebody to stand up in the audience and say, except when it comes to your vaccine.
Yes.
We don't have a choice.
Nope, you got to take the shot.
That's right.
You take it and you like it.
That's right.
All right, before we go to break, I got to get in this campus quackery.
Uh-oh.
We'll have to dust off Howard the Duck. The Olympia School District in Washington State, now under fire for cutting music classes out amid claims that they promote white supremacy culture and significant institutional violence. Can you believe that?
So, if you're a music major, look out.
Board members in the Olympia School District, which, by the way, is facing a budget shortfall, voted last week to eliminate band and orchestra for fourth grade students. The school board director told concerned parents at a meeting that music courses are not offered equitably across the district, arguing some schools provide the bands and others do not, and that's not fair. And went on to say, we're a school district that lives in and is entrenched in and is surrounded by white supremacy culture.
Maybe it has to do with some schools cannot afford
That's right.
that music elective?
Exactly.
Okay, because...
And so what they want to do is take them away from those schools so that everybody is at the same level. No,
let me give you an example.
No,
Springstead High School in Spring Hill... My class was the third graduating class. In other words, the school had been open for 3 years. It was so new that the third, fourth year. Actually, the first and second year when I was in band, because there was not enough in the budget and it was a new school, if you wanted to be in band, it used to be that you could like rent the equipment from the school. They didn't have any equipment. If you wanted to be in band, you had to buy your own trumpet or tuba or flute or clarinet.
And bring it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still offered.
That's an interesting concept. By the way, what instrument did you play?
Well, I started as clarinet.
Oh.
And that was G clef. And then half of our graduating class, or half of the senior class that was above me, was brass, and half of it graduated, so we were left with no brass, so I switched to tuba.
No kidding.
Tuba was great, because in the marching band, it was always Windward over here, let's practice this, and these guys over here, tubas, take a break. It was always tubas, take a break, and all we did was march behind the drum line.
Did you have to have a lot of wind power to make a tuba?
Yes.
It seems to me you would.
I talk from my diaphragm.
Yeah,
that's where you get
Very
it from.
Interesting.
Now, you don't just fill your lungs up. You gotta use your diaphragm.
No, not at all. We are going to take our final break. It'll be a quick one. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 oldest living musicians.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We told you it would be quick. We are back. By the way, Freedom Works, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Love doing the show and love having you listen. But we know you can be, you know, tied up between 10 and 11. So thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on tape. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows there for you, starting with the most recent show at the top. You'll know who the guest is and our top 10, the whole bit. Ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, this is kind of interesting, and I was surprised to read this, because President Biden and the president of South Korea today are going to sign an agreement that includes plans to have U.S. nuclear-armed submarines dock in South Korea, and that's for the first time in more than 40 years. A conspicuous show of support to Seoul, South Korea, amid growing concern about nuclear threats by North Korea. So, you know, we got all of this activity going on overseas. At least I'll give Biden credit here. He's somehow getting him involved in something. You know, we've been kind of, we're coming across as a weakling to a lot of countries right now. Well, for particularly for what's going on in China and the weather balloons and a host of other things. And I think a lot of people are questioning whether or not we're going to be there for them, if indeed there are you know, problems that are coming along. You got to remember, like it or not, we're part of NATO.
I know. Well, I
like
think,
it or not, we've made a commitment to some of these countries.
Just parking it there, I think those people that know Biden just think, well, that's just a show of make himself look good.
It could be.
I don't.
The planned doc visits are an element of what's being called Washington Declaration, supposedly aimed at deterring North Korea from carrying out an attack on South Korea. It is being unveiled as Biden is hosting the president, Yoon Suk-yeol, I believe it's the way you pronounce his name. He's hosting him for a state visit during an obvious moment of heightened anxiety these days for both leaders. So there you go. I don't know. You know, they're going to dock there. And I mean, what will they do, right? Do you think that's going to change our buddy's mind in North Korea?
For a guy that was projected to incite war, and I'm meaning Trump, we didn't have any of these problems.
No, and we've talked about that. He projected more strength. I don't think Russia would have invaded Ukraine if Trump had been president,
quite
frankly.
And the fat little guy in North Korea, we actually went over there and shook hands with him.
He went over and shook hands with him. He certainly did.
What's the saying? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
That's right. Apparently, it's good advice. Before we get to our top 10, a couple of sports things. Two-time Olympian Mara Yamauchi voiced her displeasure after a transgender athlete beat thousands of women in the female category of the London Marathon.
Uh-oh.
So now we got transgenders running in the marathon.
And you can't speak your mind, otherwise you're a homophobe.
Well, she spoke her mind. She finished sixth in the marathon. I should say she originally finished sixth in the marathon at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. While representing her home country of Great Britain. She did not mince words when she spoke on transgender racer Glenique Frank's win at the marathon over the weekend. She said, males in the female category is unfair for females. And she wrote that in a tweet. She said, nearly 14,000 actual females suffered a worse finish position because of him. Well, you know, I tell you what, it's working totally against the Democrats and people that believe in the LGBTQ situation. They should get the hell out of women's sports. It's doing them no good to try and force themselves into that.
It's because
they have lost the support of people on that.
Like
one.
I said, they wanted everybody just to get along. Now they want everybody to go along with what they want.
Right.
They want special privileges.
Of course. Crazy. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning are on the brink of elimination.
Oh, God.
They lost again in overtime. That's
wow.
The second time they've lost.
No,
they were
no.
up 4-1.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's you're right. They were up 4-1.
They lost again in overtime.
And they lost. They
lost 5-4.
Three goals in the third period.
That's correct.
They gave up.
So they're down 3-1. They're going back up to Toronto now, and all we can do is pray. They got to win 3 in a row.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Anything on the Tampa Bay Rays
They
front?
Did lose last night 5-0, but they're
well,
20.
Well, Houston's always good.
They're 20-4.
That's great. They're still the best team in baseball.
Pulling away from everybody else.
Yeah. But Houston, the team they played, is always good.
Yeah, well, they beat them the other night, and they lost last night.
Okay, well,
tonight,
that happens.
Maybe they'll get the series win. That's what it's all about.
Okay. Here we go. Top 10. We told you about the passing of Harry Belafonte at the age of 96. These are the top 10 oldest living musicians. You'll be interested in
this. I think Jerry Lee Lewis got to be in there somewhere, maybe.
Well, we're going to find out. Here we go. Number 10. At the age of 96 years 8 months and 16 days. It's Gene Barge.
Wow.
Now, he's a saxophonist, a composer of rhythm and blues and rock and roll. He was about Harry Belafonte's age.
Then Jerry's not in there.
Number nine, Tony Bennett. Left his heart in San Francisco, and he might have left some other body parts there these days. He is 96 years, 8 months, and 22 days. You know, he's a singer, and he sings jazz, traditional pop. Okay. Number eight, Billy the Kid Emerson. 97 years, 4 months, 4 days. He's a singer, a songwriter, a piano player. Does rock and roll music. Very interesting. Number seven. You might not think of this guy as a musician, but he was and is Dick Van Dyke. Wow. He's a dancer. He's a singer. He's 97 years, 4 months, and 12 days. Dick Van Dyke. Number six. Roy Haynes, drummer who was a pioneer of jazz drumming. 98 years, 1 month, and 12 days. Number five. Marshall Allen, a saxophone player, free jazz, 98 years, 11 months. Number four, you ever hear of Jane Morgan? Morgan, singer, 98 years, 11 months, and 22 days. Number three, Johnny Pate, 99 years, 4 months, 20 days. Bassist, or is it bassist?
Bass.
Bassist, arranger of soul, jazz and pop music. Okay. Number two. I remember this guy because I had his albums in college. Ray Anthony. 101 years, 3 months and 5 days. Band leader. He was a trumpet player, by the way, with the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Wow.
He's still around. All right, Ed. We got some time. Do you want to even take a gamble?
I have no idea. Yeah, I didn't know any of those guys on there.
I'm going to tell you that I did not know him or do not know him. Or of him. But he's been around for 102 years, 2 months, and 5 days. That alone should qualify him for some sort of special recognition. His name is Marvin Shiner. He's a singer, a guitar player, and he's in the musical environment of honky-tonk and country, Marvin Shiner. So there you go. Well, we got a few minutes left, and...
Hey, if you want
anything
some,
else going on these
some,
days?
Well, I was just going to say some interesting, maybe some comical, hilarious reading.
Yeah.
Is a new website that is out. It's called factcheckbiden.com.
Oh, that will be fun to read.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again.
You can fact check him every time he talks.
Let me say that again in case somebody's writing it down for tomorrow's show at 10 o'clock. Factcheckbiden.com.
Things like, didn't he just have something to say about his grandfather dying the same time he was?
Yeah, and the ongoing thing about him riding on a train or something like that, and the conductor was dead before he ever, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's he's got a million of them to fact check.
Yeah, Neverland.
He's an amazing man. He really is. He really is. All right. Well, thank you so very much for joining us today. We will be back on Friday. Please be good out there. Be careful. And always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.